recently, I was talking with a friend, and during the conversation, she mentioned that she had difficulty remembering things. Now, this bothered her quite a bit because, well, nobody likes to label himself or herself as forgetful. In addition, the feeling that accompanies this condition is not a pleasant one. It is frustrating, annoying, and exasperating. Now, the thing is this. As human beings, we are the sum total of our experience, of our thoughts, our decisions, and actions. Many times in addressing the issues of the day, we recall the conclusions of times past, remembering what worked and what did not work. Our ability to remember allows us to recall and relive our history, sometimes feeling a little melancholy in the process, wishing we could edit, rewrite, undo, or delete. Other memories are of a more favorable recollection, calling to mind a more positive outcome. The ability to recall and remember is a very human trait, and when we find it missing, we feel lost. It is as though a part of us has been misplaced. Somehow it just vanished, and we are not able to find it and bring it back. Now, sometimes our need to recall and reminisce is simply because we do not want to forget a particular event or occasion. We may address this in a personal way, or perhaps with a larger audience. For instance, there are times when the nation comes together in its desire to pay respect and give recognition. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, that time when we honor and pay tribute to those who serve or who have served in the armed forces. All over the United States, there will be services at cemeteries and community centers commemorating those who died in battle. Volunteers will lay wreaths at cemeteries, accompanied by salutes and signs of respect. Military brass will acknowledge those who currently serve. There will be parades and patriotic music, food, and the waving of the flag. Attendees at these events will ask the veterans to stand up so that others may recognize and acknowledge them for their service. This is a national tribute etched in the manner of custom and tradition, one that we long to uphold and remember. The desire to recall and reminisce is also played out on the personal stage of remembrance. For instance, I do think that over the years, most of us, or perhaps many of us, have attended at least one of those class reunions, that time when we journeyed back to our hometown or place of graduation, meeting once again our fellow students of years past. Now, it is true that some of the time is spent catching up on what has happened since those earlier years. We may ask, what are you doing now? Did you marry your high school or college sweetheart? And last but not least, did you fulfill all those ambitions that the school yearbook predicted for you? Actually, I think it is this perceived need for accountability that keeps some individuals from ever attending a class reunion. Nevertheless, for those who do attend, I dare say that at some point during the conversation, the collective thought returns to that time of yesteryear, recalling what they shared, what they had in common before they ventured out into the world to carve their own futures and pursue their dreams. Now, the interesting thing about this ability to remember is that we do not all remember in the same way. For instance, let's take that class reunion. We may have been surprised to learn that not everyone remembered the good old days according to our recollection. In fact, there may have been times when our remembrance was so far apart that we wondered if we had attended the same events or maybe even the same school. In our time of questioning, we may have even asked, who are these people masquerading as my fellow students? I don't even recognize them. Where did they come from? The human experience is a fascinating experience. It is nothing more than a series of demonstrations, some good, others not so good. Each of us acts out according to his or her level of understanding and awareness. This is what accounts for the varying degrees of remembrance. Every waking hour of our lives, you and I are involved in demonstrating one thing or another according to our view and our acceptance of life. The question is, what are we demonstrating? Are we happy with our demonstrations? And if not, then why not? Now, I ask why not because the Bible tells us that God gave man dominion over everything on the face of this earth. What this means is that we have a perfect right to happiness, to health, and to a life that can be lived without fear, without struggle, and without effort. But the question is, are we aware of that? We have the same right to demonstrate what is good for us this very moment. Why? Because God is the source of our good. And as we have read, God is closer than breathing and nearer than hands and feet. In other words, there are no obstacles between God and us. This means that we can depend on God for every good thing. Nevertheless, there is something for us to do. Jesus told each one of us to seek God first, to seek an awareness of God. Aware of God as the source of every good thing, we are then one with our good, and the need is met without effort, without struggle, and without fear. When we are ever able to demonstrate the dominion that God gave us, we do so as Christ, as the only begotten child. Acting in this way, we are remembering from whence we came. Jesus called substance the reality of being. It is that which gives life and supports what it forms in its image and of its likeness. Christ knows itself as spirit. Jesus was so aware of the substance out of which he was made that he said to his followers, "If you have seen me, you have seen the substance out of which I was created, because the substance and I are one." The entire teaching of the man Jesus revolved around our relationship with God and nothing else. God is not something separate and apart from us. Because you live proves the existence of spirit. Now, to understand anything, we must consider its source, the substance that created it and gave it expression. For instance, you know, we can take clay and shape a statue out of it or mold it into a bowl or a vase, but it is still clay. The appearance does not matter. The fact is that the substance that created it has not changed, even if its shape has changed. Do you know that you are not what you appear to be? A spiritual being, the substance out of which you were made, has never been touched by anything human. Not only are you created of a substance that we call pure spirit, but spirit is what you are. Remember, when we consider the source, we go beyond appearance. I'll give you another example. Whether we make a desk or a table or a pencil out of wood, it's always wood. You cannot separate the table or the pencil or the desk from the wood out of which they were made. If the wood could speak, it would say to the table, to the desk, and to the pencil, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." How can it? Without the wood, you would not even have a desk or a table or a pencil. Without clay, you would not have a statue, a vase, or a bowl. Without God, we would not have existence. In order to demonstrate the dominion that God gave us, in order to live as Christ, conscious of our spiritual substance, in order to do this, we must remember from whence we came. We must realize that all that is without must first be within us. Unless we have the consciousness of the beauty of a tree, a flower, a river, or a mountain, can there be any beauty for us? Unless we have the consciousness of love, can anything be loving or lovely for us? The principle of our divine nature must become active in our consciousness in order for it to become demonstrable. We cannot live true to our Christ nature if we are not consciously aware of it. The reality of us lies within our soul's awareness. We do not struggle physically or mentally to discover what lies in the heart of man. It is not necessary to take up the sword or resist evil. What is required is that we become still and abide in the realization that the pilots of this world have no power over us, that God alone is power. And with this understanding, we should attain a greater degree of Christ consciousness because there is nothing to oppose it. This we do in remembrance of Him. Let us remember that spiritual awareness is our true state of consciousness, and it becomes our realization when we live according to our true name. It is already in place, simply awaiting our recognition. Therefore, there is no new consciousness to gain, no new consciousness to seek. It is the purification of the consciousness we currently have, and which, in its purified state, is Christ consciousness. Moses, after his illumination, he was still Moses, but with a purified consciousness. Jesus was still Jesus, but with a purified consciousness. They became enlightened. And enlightenment means only one thing, the recognition of the divine principle that governs all life. Do you see that the activity of illumination and enlightenment is actually our remembrance from whence we came? It is remembering Christ. Let us recall the words of Jesus. In John 14:25, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And also in 2 Timothy 1:6, we read, Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting of my hands. For God hath not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Can you just hear Jesus speaking as Christ, inviting us to turn within and stir up the gift of God, the gift of our divine heritage? The message is, He shall teach you all things. Now, to me, this is an important bit of information. Right in the soul of man resides the indwelling presence that gave us the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Jesus lived in the purified state called Christ consciousness, and he told us that what he could do, we could do also. When Jesus told his disciples to follow him, he did not mean that they should follow his personality or to even walk in his footsteps. In fact, in time, he said, I have to leave because you are depending too much on my persona, attributing God's gifts to be mine only. Jesus meant they should follow his example, to abide in his word. He walked with his disciples, and he talked with them, and he showed them the way. He showed them the proof of his conviction by demonstration, by healing the sick, comforting those who mourn, and by raising the dead. His message to the disciples is also for us. When he said, What I can do, you can do also. He meant that what he could do as Christ, we could do as Christ because Christ dwells in us as it did in him. When he said, Do this in remembrance of me, he meant in remembrance of Christ. What is divine science? Divine science teaches that the answer to every human need is within the individual himself, that it is in stillness and in quietness that he may contact with God. It is in the deep silence of our own meditation that God, so many times as a sense of peace, appears to say, I am come into your consciousness, that ye might have life, and ye might have it more abundantly. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Now, the temple of God, it's not a building. A church is a building. And a church is a place where we can learn about the laws of mind and how to apply them. But you yourself are the temple. And wherever you go, you take your temple with you. The temple where the Spirit of God reveals itself as the answer to every question you may have, the solution to any problem you may face. You do not need anyone to intercede for you because you yourself are your own high priest. The degree of consciousness that we know as Christ Jesus, it can never end. You yourself are the only begotten child of God. You yourself are the answer to your prayer, because in the deep silence of your meditation, one day, somewhere, and somehow, you will hear a voice saying to you, I am with you always. I am the comforter sent from God. I will teach you all things. The purpose of today's lesson is to reveal that we should not take life as we think we know it too seriously. Remember, we are not what we might seem or appear to be. We are not that being of mortal heritage who struggles for resolution and identity. It is not necessary to do battle with persons, places, or things. What appears as challenges or distractions are merely the passing fancies that try to lure the human being outside its true home, inviting it into that far country of opposites and duality. But Jesus, he showed us the way when he said, "Get thee behind me. I will not give you my focus or my attention." This coming week, let us not stray from the temple of inner being. God planted in us a noble vine, holy, a right seed. In stillness we affirm, "This is the place from whence I came." This morning we have the opportunity to claim the dominion that God gave us at the beginning of time. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. The sanctuary of inner being is a holy place. None but the pure in heart may enter in. The pure in heart have no other gods. There are no distractions, nothing to separate them from the divine presence that loves them and cares for them. The revelation given to the soul is, "I have made you in my image and of my likeness. The life I gave you is my life. You are of me." Your soul remembers from whence you came. The celestial body is of eternal life. The terrestrial form is but a temporary garment necessary for physical manifestation. And when its journey is completed, it returns to the dust of earthly experience. And in the remembrance of self, the soul, free of the outer garment, ascends to its true home, to the Father's house. And there it abides safe and secure in the loving arms of the Almighty. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in whom all being is. Praise him for word and form are his. Praise him, all ye his truth proclaim. Sing joyful praise unto his name.
And have a blessed week.